Opposition to medical cannabis is misguided. That's according to doctors speaking at a People Before Profit conference yesterday. Medics claim the absence of legislation has caused unnecessary suffering among thousands of patients. I'm joined on the line by Dr. Garrett McGovern, Medical Director of Priority Medical Clinic. Good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, who is misleading us and in what way?
Well, I think twofold, I suppose. The Health Committee have taken their evidence from the HPRA, which regulate medicines in this country, as you know. The problem with the HPRA report was that it wasn't particularly faithful to the evidence. So, for example, one of the best indications and the strongest evidence base for cannabis is for chronic pain. And the HPRA rejected that in their report. The other aspect of the report of the HPRA is that they have welded together medicinal cannabis and recreational cannabis and conflated the issues. This bill really is about medicinal cannabis. I mean, it needs to be teased out in terms of the finer print of the bill, but certainly it's about medicinal cannabis, not recreational cannabis.
Now, people tend to have reservations about cannabis for recreational purposes for a number of reasons. One is they figure it's a gateway drug. Number two is that it supports criminal enterprise. Number three is some people believe that there's a link to triggering schizophrenia, and there are probably more objections that would come up. That conflating of the two uses, explain to me why they are different, because presumably if you're getting the drug for its active ingredient, well, that's what gives you the high too.
Well, yes, but the issue is that medicinal cannabis is a regulated product and it's been used in a number of other countries, notably the US. The quantity of psychoactive substance in any of these products is exceedingly low and is not very psychoactive. So the idea that this would be leaked onto the market and used by people in a country now where cannabis has never been more widely available in its recreational forms, and some of it very strong, is to me ludicrous, really, quite frankly. I don't, and if you look at the jurisdictions where cannabis has been made available for medical use, that isn't their experience.
You claim that it has been stigmatized even more than heroin. Explain.
Yeah, that was picked up yesterday. What I meant in relation to that, specifically in relation to this issue, if you take heroin, which is from opium, and we all know, and I work in opiate treatment services, so I'm very familiar with that drug. We're also very familiar with opiates used for medical purposes. So, for instance, morphine, or if you go into hospital, pethidine, or even indeed codeine in its very, very basic form. Morphine in hospital, when you go in and you've got acute pain and you break your leg, nobody would say you can't have morphine, which mm-hmm. is a far more dangerous product than medicinal cannabis. But it seems to me that medicinal cannabis, with far fewer side effects than many conventional painkillers, people can't get away from the recreational sort of picture or image of that drug. They're biased, I think. I honestly believe that they are biased in relation to the recreational and the illicit nature of that drug that's clouding their judgment in relation to medical cannabis.
I mean, the question of health damage by recreational cannabis, where do you stand on that? I mentioned that possible link to schizophrenia, which has been investigated. There are also stories of people who smoke cannabis may be more susceptible to lung cancers and so on.
Sure.
And, you know, the concern, you bring on something else that can do us harm. Why would you do that?
Well. First, I would say that I would like to, as I said at the top of this interview, you know, separate those two issues. You've asked me a specific question about recreational cannabis.
Yeah.
Recreational cannabis is, it's not innocent. It's not innocent for everybody. But, I mean, I deal in an area where I deal with a lot of people who drink heavily, smoke heavily, take heroin, and take a lot of other illicit drugs. I also treat people who have run into trouble in relation to cannabis. My view is that it does seem a little bit absurd that we have a drug that has caused no overdoses at all worldwide. There's no evidence of any overdose. And that drug is illegal, whereby we have other drugs that are, it's either in the same class as or near enough to, or in the case of alcohol and tobacco, it's perfectly legal. I think we would reduce the harm of cannabis. And I said this is a completely separate argument, but you've asked me the question. We would reduce the harm of cannabis if we regulated that drug too.
Someone has suggested, this is someone called Jay on the text screen, please use today's news regarding millions worth of marijuana seized in this discussion. This is only one shipment, therefore proving there is a demand for this and people will and want to use it. On the other side, people are funding criminals who kill people, waste police time and also flood the country with poor and sometimes contaminated product. Why not follow Canada, Holland, Spain and USA, for example, to regulate and tax cannabis? Healthcare evidence has been extensively proven to help with medical issues. Marijuana is not a gateway drug. Alcohol is a gateway drug.
I'd argue strongly, Pat, that alcohol is a drug, not a gateway drug. We know there's enough harm in this country in relation to alcohol in of itself without it being a gateway to anything else. In relation to other issues, a very sensible text, and absolutely true that, you know, we have a drug. Every day you put on the news, you will see a seizure in relation to cannabis. Clearly, that drug has been used very, very regularly. So I think this is a wider discussion about drug wars, essentially. And I think my own belief that drug wars is it's failed pretty miserably.
Now, the question of the provision of legal cannabis in whatever form for the treatment of conditions. First of all, what conditions would most benefit from this treatment?
Well, chronic pain is one of them. The other one is multiple sclerosis, some neurological conditions, obviously. And it's graded according to evidence. If you'd have looked at Professor Barnes, any of the media coverage yesterday, he talked about the various conditions and the strength of evidence. The strongest one is chronic pain, which itself is not a condition, it's more of a symptom. But certainly in relation to multiple sclerosis, there's a huge amount of developing evidence that people can reduce spasticity and discomfort in relation to that condition. We need more studies, there's no question about that. It's hard to study an illicit drug. And this would open the door. If we did have medicinal cannabis, we would be able to do studies in this country, proper studies with degrees of accuracy.
And the provision of cannabis then, I mean, what would we have? We'd have presumably legal grow houses under supervision and then legal processing labs.
Yeah, well, I mean, in relation to medicinal cannabis, the way it's done in the States is that you get a doctor has a license, and there are dispensaries where you can go and get that. It's not really quite like a prescription. It's the doctor would deem you suitable to be able to go and get it. So,
yeah,
but
how is it supplied? I'm just wondering, you know, the legal mechanism for farming cannabis, how that
Well, it would have to be made in pharmaceutical labs. That's how it's made. It's made like any other medication in a laboratory and.
But the raw material, presumably the cannabis, has got to be grown somewhere.
It has to be grown, yeah, absolutely.
So there's another cash crop for the farmer, perhaps. But that would have to be grown securely, would it not? Otherwise, the lads would be hopping over the wall and taking a handful of it.
Absolutely, it will. But to be fair, I mean, people might be hopping over the wall, but the reality of it is, as I said, the difference in the ratios of the compounds in medicinal cannabis relative to very widely available and grown in this country anyway, I can't see it would be of interest to anybody.
Anne says, I live in Clondalkin and regularly have gangs outside my house smoking some drug or other. And also we have a problem with the like of the abuse of what are called legal painkillers, prescription medicines. That is a massive problem in this town.
It is, and I made the point yesterday. I mean, I treat people who have opiate analgesic dependence, and we end up having to treat these patients who didn't start out wanting to get any psychoactive effect from opiates. They, in very good faith, were trying to treat pain, but unfortunately, it got the better of them. And if you look at any of the stuff that's coming out of the States in terms of really strong opiate painkillers, it's an epidemic over there. There is evidence to show that there is a sort of an opioid sparing effect of people being able to get cannabis for chronic pain so they don't have to use opiates.
You believe, I presume, that if it hadn't developed as a recreational drug and it was a substance discovered in some jungle somewhere by the pharmaceutical industry, it would be readily available now?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think the argument really stems out of almost a prejudice some commentators have called it drug apartheid, but it is definitely a bias because of its standing in the illicit world. And
is it that people just don't like to provide another way for ordinary citizens to be out of it? It's kind of a puritanism almost?
I think so. I think people for reasons, I think, which are a bit misguided, and on the Health Committee, I mean, if you look at any of the stuff that's come out of the Dáil deliberations last week, the idea is that this will get onto the market, and it's just another way of liberalising cannabis. I don't really accept any of that. That's just not the experience coming from other jurisdictions. So, yeah, I think it is related to probably a puritanical view of cannabis.
One texter says, salpidine is a legal drug and it can be addictive. Why not allow medicinal cannabis? There are side effects to every drug. I asked to ask you for advice, your advice or opinion on CBD cannabis hemp oil for dogs for pain, cancer and illness. Have you come across that?
It's an excellent question. I think you'll have to consult the vet.
He's coming up shortly. Pete the Vet is coming up. And people can text in their questions for Pete on 53106. So we'll actually put that question to him. Where is this debate going? Because do you think it's going to happen?
I'm hopeful. I think Deputy Kenny is more hopeful than he was before he went into last week's deliberations. I think it's going to happen. I think the public opinion is swaying this argument. I really do. And I think there's an awful lot of, medical people and people who know a lot about this beginning to have an influence. So it'll go on to the next stage. I hope, obviously, eventually, I hope it's passed. There's a lot, of course, there's work to be done. And Deputy Kenny will accept that the bill in its present form is not going to be perfect. But I think we can get it right, compromise. And I think we can. The thing that is, Pat, I just want to see this available to the people who need it. That's really it. I don't want to see it so restricted that people can't get it.
Okay, here's the last one, a thorny one. Ray says, if a person using state-supplied cannabis moves on to harder drugs, will this allow them to sue the state for encouraging them into addiction? Will the state need to sell this with a disclaimer?
Well, I mean, I prescribe lots of methadone, so I think I probably...
In fact, any opiate given after an operation or a traffic accident or whatever, supplied under the HSE to a public patient, I suppose, could be treated in the same way?
Well, what they're probably trying to say is, I mean, rewind back the clock when they had their broken leg and they were given opiates, they'd have more of a case to sue people for inhumane treatment, not giving them a painkiller.
All right. Dr. Gareth McGovern, Medical Director of Priority Medical Clinic, thank you very much for joining us.